Welcome to the Photo Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 2:35 p.m. that is Central Time. Today is December 30th. And I thought we'd kick off with Australia because the ASX 200 is firming from the region of the 200-day moving average. And it rallied enough over the last couple of days to break the 3 or 4 month sequence of lower rally highs. So it's looking increasingly likely that we're going to have a positive outcome, at least in the first couple of weeks of 2022. And this is emblematic of the same kind of pattern that we have in a large number of other markets. So when we think about Japan, the vast majority of European indices, everywhere from the UK to Germany to France to Switzerland, just about everywhere in Europe has had this rebound from the 2020 lows. And it's been consolidating for most of the last 4 or 5 months, and now we're starting to see an increasing number either firming from the region of the trend mean or breaking out to new all-time highs. And this is increasing the potential that these markets are about to start to play catch-up with Wall Street. They trade at a significant relative discount to Wall Street, and the linchpin, and it's been my argument for just about all of 2021, the linchpin for the transition into these lower value, or I guess lower valuation markets, has been the dollar. Well, we're definitely seeing that the dollar is rallying against some currencies and less against others. And the Australian dollar has been trending downwards for most of 2021, but it is starting to firm around the 70 cent level. And this isn't the first time that it's started to firm from this area. So it hasn't quite broken the downward bias since the peak and the initial test of the 80 cent level back in March of this year. But if it can push back above the 200-day moving average, well, then that would be more encouraging. But one thing that I thought was rather interesting about the Australian market is that when we look at the best performers this year on the ASX, we're pretty much given a picture of what's been working and what hasn't, and what are the things that have really fired on the upside. So Novonix is the best performer, up over 667%. And that's a pretty extraordinary advance overall. And when we look at the trend, well, it was in fact up more. And then we had this whopping weekly downside key reversal. So that suggested a peak of at least near-term significance. But then it's also worth considering that what they offer are batteries, and there's plenty of interest in batteries. So then when we look at the other constituents of the better performers in the index, well, you have Pilbara Minerals, and that's a lithium company. And Pilbara Minerals is still trending higher in an aggressive manner. So it's really quite overextended in the short term. And the 10th best performer was Allkem, which is the new name for Orocobre. And that share is also pushing on to new all-time highs. So it's concluding this consolidation that's been underway for the last 4 or 5 months. The lithium ETF in the USA has pulled back, and it's now in the region of the 200-day moving average and beginning to demonstrate some support. So there's certainly no argument that lithium has been one of the better performing assets in 2021. And there's every reason to believe that that's likely to remain the case, because there's a massive push toward electrification. And this whole renewables and then reformation of the transportation sector is likely to ebb and flow over the course of the decade. So when we think about it from that perspective, lithium did really well in 2013 and 14. Then a lot of new supply came into the market, and those shares really trended downwards for a prolonged period and didn't really bottom until 2016. And then we started to see a recovery because we eventually started to see more electrification. So Tesla was a big reason for that. They have been selling hundreds of thousands of cars, and every one of them has a big battery. Now, the share was negative today and reversed an earlier advance because they're doing a recall on about 500,000 of their vehicles. And that's not an inconsiderable number. And one of the things, at least that I've heard from people who own Teslas, is that they don't tend to be very reliable, and that they are a pleasure to drive, and that there's wonderful acceleration, and people feel really excited when they're driving them. But when something goes wrong, it can be extremely expensive, and we're not talking about a cheap car. Of course, when they're compared with some of the repair costs that you get in a BMW or a Mercedes or a Porsche, well, then perhaps they're comparable. But usually it's a wiring problem. So you're charged an enormous amount of money for something that's, in fact, it should be reasonably trivial. Whereas, at least if it's a big part that goes wrong in an internal combustion engine, at least you feel like you're getting something new for your money, and the car will run better afterwards. So obviously there's a bit of give and take. Now, of course, Tesla is also one of the really big companies, and it has rebounded in an extremely impressive manner from the region of the previous peak and the 200-day moving average. So one thing that we've definitely seen is that a large number of the stocks that did especially well this year have endured quite a significant pullback and are now just beginning to find support. So there were a lot of people were looking for a significant pullback in the stock market. And the reality is that a large number of companies have had it. And it's quite likely that breadth is going to increase over the course of the next quarter. Now, we're also starting to see that the rare earth metals are starting to fire. And China is consolidating its rare earth producers. So they want to take greater control of the pricing mechanism for these metals. The reason for that is because now they're less interested in exports. Because if your market is primarily exports, then you want to have a really significant advance in the price, because that's where your profit comes from. But if you're going to nationalize the industry and you're going to use more of it domestically, well, then you want to ensure that the price is manageable. And by consolidating the industry, what they're in fact sending a signal is that they're just not going to have the same quantity of supply available for export. So we had a phenomenal bull market in rare earth metals in, well, I guess about a decade ago. Lynas was one of the only companies that survived it. The subsequent crash. But that big bull market from especially in 2010 and 11 was predicated on the fact that China banned exports, and mostly banned exports to Japan. So that ignited a flurry of activity in attempting to develop alternative sources of mining and then refining. And Lynas is the only company that, in fact, got both up and running, so that they're doing their refining in Malaysia and their mining in Australia. And if China is now moving to a position where they want to focus more of their attention on enhancing their own high-end manufacturing and consuming more of their own rare earth metal product and refined products internally, well, it means that there's a whole global market available for companies that can reach productive capacity. So Linus was also one of the better performers on the ASX this year. Then, if we think about the worst performers, PolyNovo is an interesting company because what it primarily focuses on is biodegradable polymers. And it's a biotechnology company, so it's focusing on the healthcare sector, and it has more than halved. It's down 60% this year, but it's down, and that was, of course, following the big pop on the upside at the end of last year. Well, it might simply be too early for this market, because it's quite likely that the market for biodegradable polymers is something that has got significant legs. But it may be at the stage of development today that lithium-ion batteries were probably back in 2005. So all of the good news is in the future, and in between now and then, they have to start to figure out how to generate revenue. But when we think about the outlook for single-use plastics, and then the determination of just about everyone now to be more environmentally focused, to try and recycle more, and to avoid using single-use items, well, then the market for the biodegradable polymers is obviously something that has got significant scope for growth. But that didn't stop the company from being one of the worst performers on the ASX last year. And Danimer Scientific, which would be another company that has got renewable or is a biodegradable polymer company, is now below its IPO price. So this is obviously a sector in need of a catalyst for innovation and for interest to come through, but it holds a significant amount of promise. Then the other sector that did particularly badly in Australia this year was the gold miners. So Regis Resources was among the worst performer of the Australian gold miners, and it remains in a significant downtrend. And it looked like it was finding support about 10 weeks ago and then broke downwards to new lows. So we still have a sequence of lower rally highs, and until that is broken, then we're not going to have any clear evidence that we're in a demand-dominated environment. But gold prices are firming up. They rallied off their low yesterday and then popped on the upside again in here today. So over this quiet period between Christmas and New Year, we are starting to see gold firming up again. And it's starting to erode the negative position that it's had for the year so far. But more importantly than that, we continue to see that we have a sequence of higher major reaction lows, and that this has been a lengthy period of consolidation where we've had this rounding characteristic overall. But it's going to have to do more. It's certainly going to have to hold the move above $1,800. It's going to have to sustain a move above 1850, and most particularly take out the high put in November in order to get lots of people back on board that gold is an asset that has potential. Well, one thing we also know is that gold shares tend to make rather a lot of money when prices are this high for this long, and gold shares are continuing to firm from the upper side of the base formation. And this is a very well-defined base, and now we're getting a first step above it. So this, I think, is certainly evidence of support building. And if gold can sustain a breakout, well, then there's significant potential for gold miners to outperform. And this is exactly the stage in the wider cycle for gold that gold miners should do better, because they're not spending a lot of money on exploration. They're not building new mines. They're more interested in M&A activity. I suspect that the way the gold mining and the mining sector generally is going to go is similar to the relationship that we have between the pharmaceutical sector and biotech, that the junior miners are now going to become the wildcatters. They're going to have money poured into them as prices rise, and then they will become takeover candidates. And the most viable business strategy for the minor gold or the junior gold miners is to start getting leases and exploration in reasonable close proximity to the bigger miners, so that then the synergies are more attractive when they do find gold. Or you've got companies like i80 Gold, which named itself after the road that it is situated next to. So they're also in a drilling program, and they, I think, are another one of these companies that are setting themselves up to eventually be taken over. So it's eerily similar to this, the kind of business model that the biotech sector has, because the vast majority of biotech companies, they set themselves up to be taken over by the larger companies. What's interesting right now is that one of the larger companies looks like it's marketing itself to be taken over by Samsung. So Biogen popped on the upside yesterday and then gave up the advance in here today because Samsung has walked it back, and so have Biogen's administration. But the very fact that the company hasn't really gone anywhere for 6 years, and that there's a lot of controversy around their Alzheimer's drug, well, then there's the potential that they might be interested in just selling it on to somebody else. And of course, Samsung doesn't really have a healthcare aspect to the company, so it's really questionable whether that is whether that market rumor is realizable. And then, if we think about the best performers on the S&P 500, they're both oil companies. And oil prices are up pretty significantly this year, up from about $50 to $80. And every time the price has got above $80 in the last 6 years, it's failed. So we're coming back up to that level now, and it does look better supported on this occasion than it was back in 2018. But it will need to sustain a move above $80 in order to confirm that we're back in a medium-term demand-dominated environment. A lot of additional supply becomes economic above $80. And if we get a sustained move above that level, well, then drilling will start again in the pre-salt in Brazil. A lot more oil will start coming out of the tar sands in Canada, and then it will also start to become viable to start drilling offshore again. So it's not like there isn't additional supply available, it's just that it's not economic at current levels. But of course, the big question for anyone that wants to go drilling these days is the cost of the carbon emissions. And carbon emissions accelerated higher in November and then experienced a sharp decline, but did not come all the way back to the trend mean and are now bouncing, and it's back around the 80 level. This is really quite impressive strength against a background where UK and European natural gas prices are coming back down and have just about halved now over the course of a week. And US natural gas prices are also coming back down and are back below the $4 area and down in a dynamic manner in here today. So at least some of the inflationary pressures that have been coming to bear as a result of the spike in natural gas prices are likely to moderate. And higher energy prices have been one of the factors that have curtailed interest in fertilizers. So Mosaic is starting to firm again from the region of the trend mean, and it's at the upper side of a really quite long-term base. And then we can also see that this $40 area was an area of support between really 2010 and 2015. Now it's an area of resistance. If we can sustain a move above that level, well, then we're back in a medium-term demand-dominated environment. The grains and bean prices are starting to come back down, and soybeans was a little bit weaker again in here today, so wasn't quite able to hold its advance. So we're probably due some consolidation. But the big question is whether we're going to see a price decline below 1200, because following these big breakouts from base formations, it's quite normal to see a consolidation. But more often than not, the breakouts are sustained. We have ample example of that from the lumber market. It's not like the world is running out of trees, but prices are certainly firm. And even though they were negative today, I think the bigger picture here is that we had a surge higher, and it's unlikely that the price is ever going to trade back below $400. And I suspect that UK natural gas prices are going to be similar. What that's also going to do, of course, is create a globally fungible natural gas market. And with the kind of pickup in US versus European prices, then the export facilities are likely to do well. The LNG carriers are also likely to do well. But all of these are commodity plays. And what I find particularly interesting is when we look at the best performers on the NASDAQ 100. And we can see that Nvidia is in the top three, and Alphabet is in the top eight or seven, or excuse me, eight and nine position. PayPal is among the worst performers, and a number of the Chinese technology companies are among the worst performers. And the 2020 internet champions like Zoom and Peloton are among the worst performers. So we're definitely getting a transition. We're getting at, and this is quite normal. Following a massive decline in the stock market, what we generally then tend to get is a period of consolidation, and we get a reordering. And some of the initial champions will fade into nothing, and then others will regroup and they'll start to become the leaders in the new bull market. And it is increasingly likely that it is the resources sector is likely to be the new leadership. So when we then think about the performance of the extremely large cap companies, well, when Nvidia and Google have been among the best performers, then that certainly helps to support the relative performance. And when the vast majority of the constituents of these eight companies are above their respective trend means or breaking out to new all-time highs, well, then this trend of outperformance is still intact. And they continue to eat up an increasingly large proportion of the total market cap of the market. But the potential is that they're going to be less impressive on the upside because they're going to run into the problem of large numbers, whereas the resources sector is still coming off of comparatively cheap levels and is nowhere near the peak values that we had ahead of the credit crisis. So there is clear potential that it is going to outperform in 2022, and that we're going to have a significant catch-up play in the rest of the world relative to the USA. And if the dollar eventually does roll over, well, then that would really be like lighter fuel to this particular trend. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.